This is CKMS Radio Waterloo, 102.7 FM, and you are listening to From the Void with me, Christopher Sharon. Well, I'm not too sure I'm going to be able to bring this to you when I'm supposed to, so I'm kind of doing this ahead of time. There is one hell of a storm brewing outside. The walls are pounding. I can hear the rain slamming against the side of the house. It is actually raining sideways. Went for a walk down by the ocean earlier, and it's nasty, man. So, anticipating mass power outages and days without indoor plumbing and lighting and, you know, the usual conveniences we've come accustomed to over the last 100 years or so. So I'm doing this ahead of time. Hurricane Fiona is barreling towards us as we speak. And it's strange. My dog's going nuts. Everybody's kind of going a little nuts. Everybody's a little grumpy, a little testy. Feels like we're waiting for the inevitable. So I'm just down here in the void. So since tonight's the 13th episode, lucky number 13, I decided to go backwards. Not because it's 13, I don't know why I even said that. It's going to be one of those nights that might be hard to enjoy, I guess, but it's going to be where it originates. We're going to be bringing some classical composers. Most of the music tonight is going to be chamber music, hence the little synthesizer thing I did there with the trying to make horns and violins and stuff. I thought it sounded pretty cool. So we're going to, like I said, go back. So we're going to start the night off with one of the original experimental composers. When his music was played, people rioted, apparently, when they first heard this guy. They were furious. They all gathered together in the big theater to hear some proper classical music of the likes of Beethoven and Mozart and whatnot. But they got Igor Stravinsky. This is the second half of his opus, The Rite of Spring. It's called La Sacrifice. And this one happens to be performed by the Cleveland Orchestra.
Thank you.
Now, doesn't that make you just want to run into the streets and flip over cars and punch little babies, do riotous-like things? Obviously not. Time has a way of rounding things over. It reminds me of Take Five by Dave Brubeck, which we'll get into that some other day. So Stravinsky is one of those guys that I probably wouldn't have paid attention to if it weren't for this guy. And another frequent in the void kind of thing. We're going to go with Frank Zappa. Now, the thing about Frank Zappa that a lot of people might not know is that Frank didn't consider himself a rock and roll musician, even though that's what he's known to be. Frank's a composer. And Frank also knew that the time he was growing up and, you know, in the music business, classical composers weren't making the cut. They weren't able to make a living off their music for the most part. So he would compose these beautiful classical works, strange classical works, and he would kind of interweave them inside of rock music. And that's kind of what he became known for, this guy that would sort of force his listeners to experience things they normally would never even bother to listen to. And when Frank was getting near the end, he managed to get together with an ensemble called the Ensemble Moderne, and they were able to sort of bring to life music that Frank thought no one could really play. And this song isn't overly complicated, but it's experimental. The song's called Time's Beach 2, off of Frank's last album he released before he died, called The Yellow Shark.
Thank you.
So up next, we're going to go with another one of those musicians that I would not have probably heard of or even bothered to listen to if it wasn't for Mr. Zappa. And that's the thing about someone like Zappa I like, that he's just a wormhole into all sorts of other stuff. And hopefully like my show is for my dear listeners. So we're going to go with Edgard Varsi. Edgard Victor Achille Charles Varsi. French-born composer who spent most of his life in the U.S., who was kind of like the guy who pushed so many different musical tropes and ideas into weird, strange areas. He actually coined the phrase that described his music, organized sound, because it was, he emphasized timbre or timbre and rhythm. And his conception of music reflected visions of sound as living matter. Musical space is open rather than bounded. He conceived the elements of his music in terms of sound masses, liking their organization to the natural phenomenon of crystallization. He thought that to stubbornly condition the ears, anything new in music has always been called noise. And he posed the question, what is music but organized noises? Now, does that make you feel old? Thinking about your dad yelling at you, going, back in my day, music sounded like, this is just noise. Anyway, we're going to listen to one of his songs called Nocturnal from his Orchestral Works, Volume 2.
Yeah, I don't know. belong to the night. Ha-hoo!
Next, we're going to go with someone who definitely fits on the spectrum, whether it's autistic or experimental. I'll let you decide. This guy here I discovered without any sort of real influence. I was in a store called Orange Monkey Records, and this might sound like another story I might tell sometime. Probably not, because it's... Anyway. Orange Monkey Records, Waterloo. There was a... I was looking for some jazz fusion, if I recall. I think it was some Mahavishnu Orchestra or Chick Corea, something like that. And there was another guy who was flipping through records next to me, and I'm the kind of guy who just goes, "Hey, what do you listen to? What turns your crank, you know?" And this guy's like, "I'm looking for some samples. I like the sample stuff." And I was like, "Oh, really? Okay, well, I'm just looking for music to listen to. I don't really sample things." And he's like, "That's cool." And I said, "Do you like Mahavishnu Orchestra?" He was like, "Never heard of him." I said, "Wow, well, you should buy this record, because I have it, and I want to buy it again. It's so damn good. So I'd rather you take it home with you, because it'll change your life." And he says, "Well, ever heard Moondog?" I said, "I've never heard of Moondog." He's like, "Well, I'll buy Mahavishnu if you buy Moondog." It was Moondog 2. And the first time I listened to it, I found it hard to listen to. I didn't like it. It was noise, you know? And this guy is a weird dude, this Moondog. This guy's been blind since the age of 16 due to some accident of some sort. He lived in New York City from the late 40s to 1972, and during which time he was often found on 6th Avenue between 52nd and 5th Streets, busking and selling records and performing poetry. Regularly appearing in a cloak and a horned helmet, he was recognized as the Viking of 6th Avenue by thousands of passersby, and no one knew who he was. This jazz, classical, Native American weirdo who kind of influenced what has come to known as minimal music. So this is a song called, I can't remember, just give me a second, Oasis, off of the Celestial Tramp, Moondog. Thank you. one thing I've been noticing as I go along with this Void thing is I'm kind of falling back into this comfortable thing where I just kind of play a song and talk about it, play a song and talk about it. And when I first started the show, I declared it was experimental radio. So I think next week I'm going to have to find a way to get weirder again. Not that the music's not weird. It's plenty weird. But my presentation has become... kind of classic, you know? Expected. And I'm sure you enjoy what I have to say. And I like talking about it. That's why this is what happens. And there's one guy I love talking about. It's Mike Patton. Mike Patton. So for a mandatory Mike moment tonight, we're going to go back to the Bacteria Cult and their album... Or the album Bacteria Cult by Cata and Patton, and this is a song off that record called Imodium. Discovered this next composer, Takametsu, or Taro Takametsu. It's kind of a neat story. I was fixing appliances that day, and I was right in like the midst of my hungriest record collecting phase yet, where I talked about records with everybody. Didn't matter what I was fixing the fridge or I was at the hospital, you know, waiting for somebody or being treated. I was talking about records. And I was at this guy's house talking about records while I was fixing something. I don't remember what. And he said, my neighbor, he loves records. And he's getting rid of a bunch of them. He just giving away for a song. But not to anybody. He's got to believe that whatever record you're taking is meant for you. And I was like, all right. Can I introduce me to this guy? He's like, absolutely. When we're done here, we'll walk over to my neighbor's house. And I'll introduce you to him, and I'm sure he'll hook you up with a few records because you're the kind of guy he wants to take his records. So I said, all right, let's do this. And we're walking up to his house, and as we're coming up this guy's driveway, this guy who's taking me there, his phone starts ringing in his pocket, and it's like his wife or work or something important, but he takes this phone call and says, look, I can't do this right now. I'm sorry, I got to take this phone call. But just go knock on the door. His name is Steve. He'll hook you up. Don't worry. Just knock on the door. Say, hey, I'm here to look at your records. And, I'm kind of an introvert. It might not seem that way if you know me, but I find myself very awkward in social situations. I don't like making eye contact with people. I find myself more comfortable on stage than off the stage. As a musician, and people would say to me, I don't know how you deal with the stage fright and stuff. How do you do that in front of people? And I'd think like, well, stage fright is terrifying, but talking to someone I don't know, or even someone I know in a social situation sometimes, is way harder for me. Like if I know I'm going to have a meeting somewhere or have to go and do a group activity, I lose sleep for days. But put me on a stage and I put some lights and hanging from the high wire, just sweating it out, that's where I like to be. So anyway, knock on Steve's door, and he opens the door, and he goes, you must be Chris. You're here for my records, aren't you? And I'm just blown away. Like, what kind of mystic maniac is this? And I said, yeah, I am. And how'd you know my name? And he says, it's written on your shirt. So anyway, he brings me in. We go through a bunch of records. He ends up handing me about 60 records after we talk about jazz and whatever else. And I said, what do you want for these? And he's like, I don't know. What do you got? Yeah. I think I gave him like $20. And he gave me these 60 records. And I've loved going through these records. They're some of my favorite records in my collection. And one of them was Minotaur by Teru Takemitsu. So I had two more songs I was going to play for you guys tonight. But there's no time. So this is Music of Training and Rest. From the Void. Love as always. See you next week.